facilities, from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes. Sadie Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive. From the morning past the evening to the end of the life. William Poole, Asher on the 45.
Well, oh, yeah. We're back. Hour two, about 10 minutes in, and Sid Fernando standing by, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Can you hear me?
I can hear you good. I got you.
Okay.
I got you. I'll turn you up a little bit for the audience, too. There we go. And, well, we certainly, coming out of Saturday, Dick. Dick, I'm doing it again. Sid, these three preps that, you know, produced big performances. But when you have something as audacious and outlandish as a second start stretch out winner of the Santa Anita Derby, like Taba, this is a story that will obviously get the focus getting to Churchill. And then, I mean, should this horse succeed? I don't know. Everybody's heads are going to explode.
You know, it's interesting because the horse really hasn't gotten, from what I've read, really any exemplary press from it. And, you know, you think that has to do with the fact that he was basically trained by Bob Baffert until, what, April 4th or whenever Baffert
said. April 4th.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, because of Bob's toxic presence, I don't think this horse has really gotten the accolades he should. To me, it was one of the most phenomenal performances. Just the idea of going from a 6 furlong maiden special to, you know, a grade one race. Forget about 6 horse fields or whatever. I mean, just the fact that this horse was able to do that against some very seasoned horses is, you know, absolutely phenomenal. And the fact that he's by Gunrunner too, you know, it's when you stitch everything together, Gunrunner was the leading sire of 2-year-olds last year with 2 G1 winners. He's come back so far with his first crop 3, and he's added 2 more G1 winners on back-to-back weekends in 2 of the biggest preps, the Arkansas Derby with Cyberknife, and then the next weekend, the Santa Anita Derby. So there's, you know, behind the major performance of Taba, there's also this chorus behind it, and that chorus is Gunrunner.
Very much, and that, you know, that part of the storyline, to me, in fact, on the Stallion front, you know, the companion element, it came up yesterday with Chad Brown. We talked last week about Upstart. Well, here's Zandon following up for Upstart with a grade one. And even last week we talked and you explained about him being taken private, essentially being taken off the board by Airdrie. And those were the two, I mean, those were, Uncle Mo is Uncle Mo, but those were the two elements of the preps at Keeneland and Santa Anita that, you know, I was looking forward to, you know, letting you riff, because, you know, for Upstart, I mean, Gunrunner had certain expectations, and he had already established himself with last year's record-breaking season. Uh-huh. For Upstart and for Airdrie, this is a real shot in the arm to have, you know, to have Zandon, and actually to go to the Oaks and Derby with as good a chance to sweep the two races Upstart as a Stallion as anybody.
Yeah, we've been talking on your show about Upstart for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, Kathleen Ogg, and, you know, we've been mentioning the whole progression, and it's true. And I am going to mention something before I get to this whole general topic, but with Taba's win and Cyberknife's win before that, you realize that he was just the neck shy of getting the Wood Memorial winner, too.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
I mean, can you imagine if he'd had early voting, Cyberknife and Taba?
Well, and part of the, you know, for all the carrying on, I said this to Chad yesterday, for all of the you know, the eye-popping reality of Taba winning this in a second start, or early voting, that was his third start.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
it's not as if, you know, and there's other horses that are shaping up in this field that are just as Charge It. I mean, Charge It, you know, Charge It actually is kind of teetering a little bit. He is going to need some things to happen or not happen to go. But I mean, there's another horse.
First start. Yeah, exactly. And you know, as much as people are talking about Charge It's really great performance in the Florida Derby, that was a much more green performance. Green in the way he ran.
Right.
You can see he's kind of an immature looking colt. Taba, on the other hand, looked absolutely professional. And also, I was talking to Chuck Simon about this the other day, too. You know, two starts for this colt is actually like four for him, really, when you come out of Bob Baffert's barn, as he did up until April 4th, because Bob drills horses and he works them against his other good horses.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there was a massive foundation put down on this horse. You know, if it had been his third start and he did this, it would be like Justify, right?
Well,
Justify won the Derby in his fourth.
And I don't know if you saw it. I may have sent it to you, but you know, when I had Gary Young the other morning, because I wanted to, you know, reaction from this, you know, the Zidane camp, and I took a snapshot of the workouts once he got back to the work tab in November. 16 works for 9 miles worth of distance.
Exactly.
Miles in 16 works.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The other thing this horse had also, which I love to see, was that 3-furlong blowout a few days before the race.
Yeah.
You know, that's super old school. Getting back to your original question, I don't want to stray off it, but my column in the TDN today noted this one important thing, which encompasses Gunrunner as well as Upstart and others, and that is, if you take the Japanese horse out, Crown Pride, out of the 19 top domestic point getters for the Derby, 15 of them were conceived by stallions who had no runners at the time of conception. In other words, they're unproven stallions.
Wow.
15 of the 19, yeah, read that column, it's out this morning.
Awesome.
That's 80% of the top point getters were by unproven stallions who had no runners when they conceived these runners, which is absolutely an astounding fact. 11 of those 15 were by either first or second crop three-year-olds, like Upstart second crop three-year-olds. So for everybody, you know, for those people that are constantly bitching about people buying unproven stallions, I guess there's a reason why they're doing it. Because the only proven stallions among these top 19 domestic point getters are Mo Donegal with Uncle Mo, Messier with Empire Maker, Zozo's with Munnings, and Classic Causeway with Giants Causeway. Everybody else out of those top point getters were sired by a stallion who did not have runners when they were conceived. that's crazy, isn't it?
It really is. I sent you also a note about the number of, because I always am interested in how many homebreds there ends up being, and one of the things that stood out to me right away on Sunday morning was how many individual owners are represented in this Derby. And
because of what you sent to me, by the way, in my column, when I list every single runner, I list their ownership. And if it was the sales price, I list the last sales price, too. That stood out to me when you sent that to me.
Just a quick rundown. The Winchells, Jeff Drown, Al Gold, Mr. Yoshida, Amer Zidane, Tammy Bobo, Mike Mackin, and the people that are involved at Lucky 7, the Reddams, Bill Simon, WSS with Barbara Road, Seth Klarman, the Butzows, Barry and Joni Butzow, Mandy Pope, it looks like John Fort is going to get in, Peachtree, Calumet could still get in with Brad Kelly. a vast percentage here. You know, not to, and I, by all rights, you could say that people like the ownership of Unoho. I mean, it's you know, Cypress Creek, Kevin Moody, and Carol Castile at Whispering Oaks. You know, there's some of those. There's Diamond T. Morello is Diamond T. and Blue Lion, plus Craig Taylor. You know, so there's there. You know, these aren't the big gigantic agglomeration partnerships. SF, of course, has got Messier, and you know, the Avenger Group has got Messier. But this is a little bit of an old school sportsman lineup.
Yeah. And that does stand out because it's the smaller ownership groups, despite, you know, some great price variances, you know, from a $1.7 million two-year-old like Kaba to, you know, a horse like... Castellino, for example, who was an $8,000 weanling, I think. However, interspersed amongst all of that is this ownership entity that this year anyway doesn't encompass a lot of the big groups.
Yeah.
Messier, of course, excluded. But yeah, it's a really interesting makeup, and it also showcases, and we've been talking about this before, but you know, a wide range of stud fees, because these are all unproven stallions for the most part, 15 out of 19. So, you know, they do encompass some stallions that you could be breeding to this year, including excuse me, Hit It A Bomb at 5,000. Tis the Mom. And, you know, I threw in, by the way, some of these same sires of the Oaks horses, the top 12 Oaks horses, and Cupid pays $5,000. You know, Venti Valentine's sire, Firing Line, he's, what, 5,000. So, you know, and by the way, a 5,000 stallion can still get you an expensive yearling, as we spoke about last week when. Tis the Bomb was a $330,000 yearling,
right,
off, you know, a cheap stud fee. So it's very democratic group representation everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That'll make. I mean, I don't know how much of that. I mean, it's something that we are interested in. It may not make it into the, you know, into the storylines that get widely discussed. But, you know, for those that are buying and selling horses, I mean, we're right in the middle of OBS April and day three yesterday of the Breeze Show. We got four more before next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll be watching. And I started this morning watching some Breezes. We can't watch ourselves. New York bred. Let's dig in on a couple of elements of the pedigrees and get some gut reaction, Sid, from you. And one thing stood out to me looking at Taba's page, and there's both pedigrees of Gunrunner and of the Flatter Dam, Need More Flattery. They're both pretty clean, but they both, the only inbreeding that they've got going four generations, Gunrunner, top and bottom with Fappiano, and Need More Flattery, top and bottom with Mr. Prospector. And otherwise, these are you know, a set of parentage that is very interesting. And there's certainly a lot of things in here that including some of our favorites, like, you know, somewhat obscure stallions, Left Banker, who got the second damn kiosk, and how about the fourth damn Grand Glory by Grand Rights? You know, the female family is a little offbeat.
It's an interesting story about the female family because somebody...
Puerto Rico mayor.
Yeah, but it comes originally from Uruguay. And from Uruguay, a champion three-year-old filly went to Puerto Rico, where it was then developed in Puerto Rico. And then from Puerto Rico, it went to Ohio. And I remember this pedigree really well because it's funny because we analyze yearlings, obviously, for our clients. And one of our clients, of course, is Jerry Crawford of Donegal. And Mo Donegal was, you know, one of our short lists, our best of sales. And so I'm thrilled for Jerry about that. But I just sent Jerry a reminder email yesterday that on that short list also was Taba and Messier. So, and I pointed out that Taba was actually at the sale cheaper as a yearling than a Mo Donegal because Taba was 140,000 phasing tipped in October sale, which we did for Jerry too. And that's why I happened to remember Taba, because at the time I was looking at it when we were deciding whether to make it a best of sale, we just happened to look at that pedigree and it was like this Puerto Rican, this Ohio history coming from Puerto Rico, which began in Uruguay.
I love it. Well, I mean, certainly there, I imagine that people will remember Need More Flattery when you say Ohio.
And I sent you that picture of Bruce C. Ryan yesterday that John Englehart had sent me.
I remember, because I remember talking about Need More Flattery with Tim Hamm. And Tim, you know, she won all kinds of, you know, basically tromped around, you know, Beulah, Thistledown, River,
right, exactly.
And amassed a hell of a, she had a hell of a career. She made three-quarters of $1 million.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, a tough, hard-hitting state-bred runner by a very good stallion. You know, people forget that when Flatter went to stud, he was standing for only $5,000 at Claiborne, son of AP Indy. Out of praise by Mr. Prospector, out of wild applause, out of glowing tribute, but it was such a great deal. So, you know, people like in Ohio could utilize a horse like that early on. Although this was a little later, but he was not 5,000 when Need More Flattery was conceived. But, you know, that's the gist of it, is that Flatter at the time was like a 5,000 horse like Cupid or Hit of the Bomb are now. And which shows you how, you know, you can catch on to a horse like that.
Well, going through this, I mentioned some of the more obscure factors. That second dam kiosk, and that one being by Left Banker on a Fleet Son that Don Disney bred. And here's a name you just, you know, this is as obscure as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
The three-time winner for $100,000, $94,000, and given a chance, you know, given a chance to stand, gets the Ohio mayor kiosk. I mean, there's obviously going to be plenty of examination and trying to, you know, get the backstory in here. Third dam was a phone trick mayor, phone switch.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a modest, she was, you know, five-time winner for $50,000.
But a stakes producer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, multiple stakes, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sousaphone and another, you know, and Kiosk, who was stake multiple stake place, didn't win a stake herself, and then she got Need More Flattery.
You know, when you're looking at some of these types of horses, you know, Need More Flattery, for example, as you pointed out, earned $730,000. By a good stallion, they'll flatter, you know. And these types of pedigrees, and like I pointed out, this one comes back from a very distinguished Uruguayan champion, but then, you know, goes through Puerto Rico, Ohio, Minnesota, whatever. But still produces hard-hitting runners and stuff like this. And then you get Need More Flattery, who really, you know, made a lot of money, won a lot of races. A mare like that, a hard-hitting mare like that, without, say, a real big, flashy, graded stakes-winning pedigree, sometimes, you know, you need those types of mares for stallions, and Gunrunner has all the pedigree in the world. Got such a great female family. Got the race record, you know. It just, sometimes you just need a good, strong, hard-hitting mare, and you mix that with a good stallion like this, and you know, it helps a stallion to get productive racehorses as mates, just to start off with. And this horse, Gunrunner, is obviously an exceptional stallion, and you know, he's just taken over right now, basically.
Have you heard? You know, she is not showing any produce, Need More Flattery, since Taba. I have not read if she.
I sent you by the way, I sent you his phone number too,
Bruce Ryans.
Yeah,
I'll check with Bruce, and in fact, you know, I know, because I know Tim Ham was co-breeder of Need More Flattery herself. But Blazing Meadows is not showing up as a co-breeder on the
Taba was just Bruce Ryan.
It was just Bruce alone.
Yeah, and I sent you a picture of Bruce Ryan
and his
phone number, because I figured you might want to get him on the show.
I'd love to. I'd be happy to. I just
check that email, because it's one of the emails he sent to me, but I hope it's the right one. Jeez.
That's all right. I can check with Tim with Tim Ham too. I'd love to have Tim. You know, I can tell you that we talked more than once during her career. I mean, she campaigned.
Yeah.
I mean, she won her first five races. Need More Flattery.
By the way, this email, is that the one with the 157 in it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I did send it to you.
I haven't looked actually at yet this morning, but I will. I will catch up.
But this Taba, I mean, you know, I'm glad that I actually have it down in a text message I sent to somebody. But I did say I really like this horse quite a bit. I said it, you know, it could be a potential superstar. And like I said, when you compare him to Charge It, there's a definite difference in professionalism between the two of them. You know, both of them did some exceptional stuff, but this horse just, you know, he ran like nothing bothers him. You know, Charge It, kind of green, didn't keep a straight path, I think might have been on the wrong lead for a while, and then has a kind of an immature look to him. This horse looks like just a pro.
Well, it's going to be under the microscope between now and first Saturday in May. Taba, Gunrunner, Tim Yakteen, Mike Smith, Amer Zidane, $1.7 million purchase. And as Gary Young said to me on Monday, Sid, I don't know if you had a chance to go back and listen, but. You know, I mentioned that Andy Beyer had been on, and Andy said that, you know, it wasn't prudent to to force feed the horse. He thinks he's a huge talent, and Gary said, "Well, Andy's not going to be involved in the decision going forward." And you know, you spend $1.7 million, and Zidane was right to run and to overrule everybody. That was the right call, no matter what happens going forward. You pay $1.7 million, you got one pass at a chance to win that grade one in California, in your, out of a stall on the backstretch at Santa Anita.
Man, it wasn't like it was 20-1. I mean, it was 4-1. I was hoping to get higher than that. I was kind of disappointed it was 4-1.
Well, you're going to get twice that or more in the Derby. It feels like he's.
I hope so because I'm going to just unload on this horse. Even though, and I hope Jerry Crawford is listening. I love Mo Donegal. Mo Donegal and Jerry are our clients. And I hope Mo Donegal actually wins the race, but
for betting purposes, well, he's going to be a decent price too. He'll be sixth, seventh choice.
Donegal, the only thing with Mo Donegal is he's just going to have to weave his way through. This horse can get clear. He's got the tactical speed to find a better pass. Mo Donegal, he's just going to have to weave his way through a big, big field.
Well, certainly the way, the way it transpired, with Rosario. And honestly, let's talk about Zandon now, too, because we have not discussed him. We have talked about Upstart, obviously. Here's more flatter involved with Upstart. This is a through and through Airdrie, Governor Jones pedigree, because he also bred the Dam, Memories Prevail, with Creative Cause. So the two most recent big stallion acquisitions at Airdrie are responsible for Zandon.
Well, it even goes back further.
Indian Charlie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
He stood Indian Charlie, obviously.
Yeah, good point.
And he was obviously bred by Brary Jones. And remember, I always say that Brary Jones and Airdrie Stud with these horses, they always breed really good-looking horses. I mean, this horse, Upstart, is a gorgeous stallion. If you just take a look at a picture, I mean, he's really beautiful. And look at what Zandon's a beautiful looking horse. And look at what Zandon made as a yearling, $170,000. Think about his stud fee, with $10,000. That's a massive return. Airdrie is really excellent at promoting and making young stallions. And, that's one of their that's what they're built to do. They have a huge broodmare population, and they support their own stallions. I think Airdrie probably has about 150 mares of its own.
Yeah, I mean, they're
handpicked mares. They've got form. Sometimes they might not have pedigree, but they have looks. And usually the M.O. of Airdrie is to get the physical first versus the pedigree. So if you look at Indian Charlie, for example, Indian Charlie was another Baffert-trained horse who only had 4 starts, I believe, undefeated until the Derby, where he then finished third, and that was his last start. So I believe, if I'm just talking off the top of my head, but Indian Charlie, I think, was a winner of 4 or 5 starts, did not race again after the Derby, big, good-looking horse, though, by In Excess, by Siberian Express. Brary Jones takes that horse and stands him in Kentucky, a California-bred horse. And, of course, what does Indian Charlie do? He becomes an exceptional, really great stallion. You know, started cheap, like Zandon. And, of course, you know, Indian Charlie is the sire of Uncle Mo. So this line is going to continue to go forward, but that's the kind of horse that usually was the Airdrie model. As they've gotten bigger, they've been able to put more pedigree onto it as well.
You know, there's a name in here, actually, as well, Sid, that I'm just looking. I wanted to see how far it went back with Governor Jones. And that third dam, Witness Post, a name that is probably more familiar in Canada, Angus Glenn, Art Stollery.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy yeah. Road. Kennedy Road.
Yeah, Kennedy,
right?
Kennedy Road. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Angus Glenn involved yeah. here. There's a prominent name.
Really, this is a... When you go back and you look at this entire family of Zandon, and now we're going really bad, really back. But what'd you say? Witness Post was his third dam?
Third dam.
So his fourth, fifth, sixth... Eighth dam was Boudoir the second. Blue Hen, you know, third,
your hostess, the dam of yeah. your hostess.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this is the same family as Graustark, for example.
Wow.
Yeah. Graustark and His Majesty, because they both go back in that tail female line to Boudoir the Second, you know, who had flower bed. Flower bowl grouse dart.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some deep class back there. The horse Zandon was incredibly impressive, and Kathleen always incredibly impressive. Micro shares, there was a whole bunch of upstarts actually running this past weekend. Just the fact that they're running over a big Saturday tells you. You have enough horse to do that, right? Which means there's a real run on this horse right now, which is why I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Airdrie quietly made the stud fee private, because right now at $10,000, people will grab your arm, grab that deal.
There's a lighted boy on the female, yeah. I mean, Mahmoud, Hyperion, There's a lot of impressive things going on here. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, all right. That's two of the three. Let's get a Mo Donegal, and obviously this is one you can really speak to with authority. Uncle Mo out of the pulpit mare, This is actually one of those pedigrees that everybody is going to be familiar with the whole, you know, tail female line. You got a pulpit mare who was out of a Tabasco cat mare, who was out of a 49er mare, out of a Nureyev mare.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's really funny because first I have to prep Jerry Crawford, because we've had a very long and a successful relationship with Donegal from the time they, you know, started, and you know, from the Doolahan and Patio Prado, you know, it's been great. And what I wanted to explain about Donegal more than anything is that. And I was thinking about this. Sometimes the ownership, the characteristics of the ownership end up in the horse. It's really uncanny. And I'll explain this. Donegal, when they're shopping for, yearlings, they only want us to look at mile and a quarter type of horses. And so what ends up happening, if you look through all the Donegal horses through the years, right? They're really horses that want to go long.
On the turf.
Frequently, yeah, or the turf, and frequently come from off the pace. Right? And, you know, think about Doolahan. They're horses that stay, basically, yeah. And they come from off the pace. And that's become their character. So when we had suggested this Uncle Mo, it's funny, there's another pedigree guy out there. He had written a thing about it to Jerry about how, oh, you got a really precocious horse here. This is an Uncle Mo. He's going to be an early two-year-old and yada, yada, yada. And I said to Jerry, that's not what's going to happen with Mo Donegal. When you combine Uncle Mo with AP Indy, and that's what this is, right, out of a pulpit mare.
Right.
You don't get a precocious horse. You get a late two-year-old and a horse that'll stay all day and really mature late as a three-year-old. And, you know, you take a horse that you bred to, for example, Motown. Motown is by Uncle Mo out of a Bernardini mare, right? Bernardini by AP Indy, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost a similar profile in that Motown, like Mo Donegal, won the Remsen. And then he came back late in the year as a three-year-old and won the Hollywood Derby.
That's right.
But there are others. You know, you get a bunch of them. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but you know, there's a bunch of them, and basically the profile is that AP Indy adds so much stamina, and Uncle Mo is, you know, it's a physical thing too. If Uncle Mo's are big horses, and when you tack on more stamina to them, and Uncle Mo had plenty of stamina, which we never really got a chance to see because he was such a brilliant, precocious horse. But you do get a later development to them. And that's what, Mo Donegal has. Late two-year-old, but he's with a trainer, Todd Fletcher, that can, you know, get horses to the classics. And that's what he's doing right now. Won that race, but he won it in that similar style of coming from behind, the same style that Doolahan had, except Doolahan was trained by Dale Romans. And Todd, with his big stable, sort of like Batford's, can work horses with others and whatnot. It maybe get him the peak a little earlier, and so I think that's what you did with Mo Donegal. It's not that he's got a huge pedigree behind him. He's got a really good pedigree. He's out of a pulpit mare who was, you know, had only she won in a small career. She won two wins from four starts. You always like to see that. She was out of a Tabasco Cat mare, and that's the other thing that attracted us to Mo Donegal, because you have this good cross with pulpit AP Indy, but then you also have Stormcat in the pedigree, and in this case through Tabasco Cat. And Uncle Mo has done extremely well with Stormcat. In fact, Nyquist, his Derby winner, is out of a Stormcat line mare. And then the third dam is by 49er. And she's a half to a Queen's Plate winner. So, you know, you have, by the way, the second dam by Tabasco Cat, she was a grade one winner. She won the Acorn, but she also ran second in the Kentucky Oaks.
Yep.
So you have plenty of, you know, distance in the pedigree, dirt, and it turns into a typical type Donegal profile runner.
Well, and that Nureyev influence way back too, four back has got that same.
Right.
It's going to have that same.
Yeah.
Larry Jones trained that island sand.
That's right.
By the way, a quick aside, we were wondering about the status of Needmore Flattery. Tim Ham reports that she was sold and is overseas.
Oh, that's right. She went to Europe, I think.
She's overseas. So thanks to Tim for bringing us up to speed. When you don't see produce, you know, for a couple of years, the first thing you think of is frankly the worst, but
But well, she's too big a mare for that. I mean, 700,000 earner, you know. She would have had people on her.
So that's where she is. Well, this just looking at Donegal, at Mo Donegal, Save the Last Dance, Bond Davis. So, well, this what 250,000
250,000, which is, you know, kind of where Jerry. That's why I pointed out the table to Jerry, because that table was 140.
Amazing.
And Jerry had emailed us at the time and said, let's do the Chasing Pitch in October sale as well. And so we had done that sale for Jerry, and Table was one of those horses in there. You know, imagine if Jerry had taken Table and Mo Donegal.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if there was. We'll save. You know what we'll do? We've got a couple of weeks lead time before we get serious about Derby, but we do have to have you dig in to the unknown, something of the unknown when it comes to the Japanese runner, Crown Pride, and also to some extent too that Summer Is Tomorrow. We gotta figure out a little bit about them, and then a couple of
Larry Jones again with him.
With Summer Is Tomorrow, yeah.
Well, you know, the stallion stands at Airdrie.
There we have. Yeah, we've got to get. I'm just looking who we have not covered with pedigree rundowns.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it too over the next few days. But tweet out a copy of my column in the TDN today, because that's a revelation.
I will.
Yeah, about 80% of all the top point getters for the Derby, 15 of 19, are by stallions who are unproven.
Amazing. Should mention a couple other. There were a couple of other notable marks. Not This Time got another Grade One win with Just One Time in the Madison. How about the Curlin? Certainly got to acknowledge
Nest.
Nest, thank you. Coming out of the Ashland with a huge effort.
Yeah.
And then a very big win for Cupid. I talked yesterday to Phil D'Amato. That Desert Dawn's performance, Cupid clearly wants that mile and an eighth, and wants to keep going. And as these 3-year-olds of his get a little older, they're going to continue to excel, it looks like. So a big Grade Two win for Cupid.
Cupid is in my column, as is not This Time as well. Both discussing, it was Not This Time's first crop daughter, Just In Time, that won the Grade One. And these two good colts for Not This Time are his second crop 3-year-olds, and he's got two on the Derby trail, right? And now Cupid's got this first crop 3-year-old filly heading for the Oaks. So It's a big deal.
You know, I'm taking a first look actually at the pedigree of Desert Dawn, and she's out of an Honor and Glory mare, who herself is out of a Dr. Carter mare.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? That's Mrs. Genter, and then a Hatchet Man mare. This is a fun this is a fun pedigree with because Hatchet Man's Green Tree.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is an interesting page.
Yeah, it sure is.
Look at that. And then one that I don't know anything about Bushido.
Who? Bushido?
Bushido.
Bushido is a Barbara Hunter horse.
Michigan bred.
A really hard-hitting stallion. And, Bushido was a horse that, let me see who bred Bushido.
Susan Fisher.
Susan Fisher. Maybe I was thinking Susan Fisher. That's it. That's who it was, not Barbara Hunter.
Michigan bred.
Susan Fisher, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
He was
a good hard-hitting stallion.
Bushido, how about that?
Yeah.
Got the fourth dam.
Right.
But Bedoozle. Well, this is always a delight to, you know, to dig into these and you find horses, you find families, you find owners, breeders, stories that's what makes it fun. It's why people get caught up and you know, the breeding side draws them in. And we talk about this all the time, how it's one aspect of the game that, you know, there's so many different things.
Yeah.
So many different ways to get intoxicated with horse racing.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it.
That's getting exciting, Sid. This lead up now, these next few weeks, start to make some decisions. Everybody's already in Derby discussion mode, and we'll give everybody as much help as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk next week.
You got it. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, and there's plenty of time. There's still plenty of breeding. There's still plenty of covers happening, even here in April. 510-490-1111. Some late season support that Sid and Roger will help you. Work Thoroughbred Consultants. Sid, I appreciate it. Looking forward to reading that column.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Sid Fernando, folks, and Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, Hill and Dale. Let's take the top of the hour break. I want to check in and see what's happening at Keeneland. And how the weather, let's see how the weather has affected things. It's 11 o'clock, so... Yeah, they turned in changes at 10:23, and doesn't look like we're off the turf, does it? No, it does not. And in fact, the MTOs, yeah, they scratched, so we're on the turf. Just the one. It's the one turf race. Yeah, you know, I was talking to Mark Cassie last week or over the weekend. It was over the weekend because of the inclement weather. There was a period years ago at Keeneland they never took races off the turf, and I don't mean when they had the poly track. I'm talking they never took races off the turf. They just ran them. You know, the short meet and, you know, the turf course, the sand base, they would always run. So, even though they took some rain this morning, we're on the turf. All right, so we're going to do some handicapping. If I should get Seth, I wonder if I wonder if Hermes himself wants to handicap a little bit. All right. Let's take the top of the hour break. We'll figure it out. Hour three, Seth Merrow and more at the races here on Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.